So now we start the third parak of Chagiga. It's Mishnah Aleph of Parak Gimel. This is going to replace the recording from the one I did yesterday, which was incomplete. So here we start now. The next three Mishnayos are going to deal with a total of 11 different ways in which Kodesh, meaning if you're going to deal with food that came from a korban, has to be treated with more stricture than Truma. That's the food that's edible just to the Kohanim. Okay, so there are a total of 11 different milas, rabbinic reasons that they made added stricture to treating Kodesh than Truma. The first mission here will have 5 of them. Okay? So, the first issue is being tovel a kli within a kli. If you want to immerse, you want to be metaher, let's say a fork that we said, for eating food with, can you put it inside another kli and put the kli with the fork inside into the mikvah? Okay, so now midoraita, that's going to work just fine, because the water that's inside the kli is going to be buffed to the water inside the mikvah. However, even mi'ikra din, it's not going to work anymore if the hole that lets water into the kli is very narrow. How narrow? The width of the pipe that leads into a node. A node is like a skin flask, like a wine skin, which I think are made out of. I told you, I think it's made out of animal bladder. Historically, or leather pouch, whatever it is. The point is, the Gemara gives a shear, basically it's too small to even stick two normal sized fingers inside. So if you have a any kind of utensil which has its water can come in from the mikvah, but the entry way is so narrow that even two fingers can go in. It's considered to be a separate like vessel, and the water within the vessel is considered to be distinct from the water in the mikvah. It's not batel, and therefore, if you'd immerse such like a wineskin inside a mikvah and you had a fork inside there, it would not be effective. The fork would not become tahor. It's not in the mikvah, it's inside the wineskin. Now, the rabbis then went and said, because of this, we're going to make it a little bit more strict. If you want to be tovel a kli within a kli, a fork inside a bucket, so even if the bucket's big and wide open on top, as normal, most kilim are wide open on top. They said, that's fine, you can do it for truma, but not for Kodesh. If you want to use a fork for Kodesh, don't put it in kli within a kli, put the kli on its own inside. And so that's step one. So the Mishnah says, inside it says, Chomer b'kodesh mebetruma. There are a number of strictures we treat more Chomer, dealing with preparing things for or eating Kodesh, meat and food, mebetruma, from regular truma food that is going to the Kohen. First of all, shemat bilin kelim b'toch kelim l'truma. You are allowed to put a kli within a kli, assuming that the hole is big enough. For truma, l'truma, aval lo l'kodesh. You may not do that for kodesh. Now, just speaking it out here, this stricture only applies if the kli you're immersing is tahor. In other words, the flask or the container, the bucket, is tahor. To put a fork inside that will be not allowed, according for kodesh. But everyone agrees that if the kli is tame, you could put the bucket is tame, then you could put a tame bucket and a fork inside it, a tame fork, put them both in the mikveh, it will work. Because obviously, if it's tahor enough to be matahir, the kli, the outer of the bucket, it has to be tahor enough also to be matahir. Everything else that's in the bucket, so that would be the fork too. So it comes out then, just like, let me sum up so it's clear. If you have a bucket and inside is a fork, that's the kli within a kli. Okay, if the bucket itself is tahor, and the entryway is narrow, so then not effective. Neither for truma, not for kodesh. Right. If the kli is tahor, but the opening is big, so then it will work. That's the point of the Mishnah here. In such a case, that's no good for kodesh, but it will be okay for truma. Now, if the kli is tamei, the outer kli of the bucket, so we don't care if it's kodesh or truma, if it's narrow or wide on top, either way, it will be effective for both kodesh and truma if the outer kli is tamei. Okay, that's step one. Step two.
You mean what's inside it will be good? And the outer kli is tamei and has a small opening.
And you put a fork inside it, it'll be effective for being tovel, even the fork.
For
kodesh, for everything. Okay, now, so that's number one of five of this Mishnah. The second one is the issue of Tuma and Kalim. This is where we got a little bogged on yesterday. So let me sum it up here, first of all, again. Normally, Ochlin and Mashkin, food and drink, is at most a Rishon L'Tuma. It can't be an Avatuma. Avatuma is not food or drink. Avatuma comes from primary source of tumah, like a zav or a zav and so on, or whatever, a dead animal and so on. Now, if those things are an av and they touch the food becomes a rishon. That's fine, but a rishon can never be metama adam or kalim, right? Midoraisa. The rabbis went and said that liquids that are tame are going to be metama also, midorabanan, but they're going to be metama kalim also. Okay, so that means that if you have the woman, she's the nida, she touches the grape. The grape now becomes a rishon. If now the grape goes and touches some wine or oil, they clear some oil, the oil will actually be able to be. No, sorry, what I said is true, but I don't want to. Sorry, even more fundamental than that. If the woman touches the oil is a rishon, but we'll let the oil be matama kalim anyways. Even though midoraisa can't, it's a rishon, it can't be matama kli, but midorabanan, it will be matama kli. The rishon will be midraban matam the kli. The oil will make the kli. It's like what I said yesterday. I got scared of my own shadow. It's like what I said yesterday. The oil will make the kli into a sheni. Does this make sense?
Right.
Fine. The reason why the rabbi did that is because there are certain liquids which actually are avos tumah, although they're highly uncommon. But the mayanos, the things, the liquid that emerge out of, say, a zav, not just his zov, not just actual emission, right? But even his spit or a spittle or his urine, all that stuff is all tummy. Now the mayanos of a zav and a zava and a mitzora
and a nida.
I'm pretty sure, usually our team,
yeah,
are good. All avos hatuma. So the urine or the spit of a zav is an av hatuma, not so. Yes, avatuma, and therefore they're, because of those liquids, they made all liquids that are tame able to be tame kalim. So those are avos that could be tame kalim. And what I was spooked out by yesterday, let me speak it out, is that if it's not the same, obviously. If the spit of an zav is an av, when it touches the kli from a rishon, when the zav goes and touches the shemen becomes a rishon, it's matama the kli to be a sheni. So the point is that it's not on the same level, which is like a little weird, I thought. But anyway, that's the din. The din is exactly that. So now, the one issue is the rabbis were hesitant in letting you treat kalim as being tame, because the problem is if something's a sheni l'tuma, so then if truma goes inside of it, the truma will become a shlishi and tame, and you have tame truma, you have to burn it. Tame truma has to be burned. However, if you recall from Maseches Trumas, Truma is a funny thing. If it's Tame, you have to burn it. And if it's Tawar, it's an Isser, the Raisa to burn it. So what are you going to do in this case? You're pretending this cup is Tame. Really, it's Tawar. It's only Tame Midorabanan. Right? But Klape Shemai, but Midoraisa, it's Tawar. So the Isser, the Raisa is still there. You're not allowed to burn Truma. So if you pour your Truma oil that was Tawar Truma into this cup, which is now a Shani, really it's Shani Midorabanan, but it's Tawar Midoraisa, so then the oil really midoraisa is tor, but midorabanan it's tome. So you might come to burn it, which would be very bad. So therefore, the rabbis made a slight difference. They said we're going to treat this rabbinic tumah from liquids different than regular tumah, so that people won't forget it's only rabbinic in nature. It won't come to accidentally burn truma. And that is that if the liquid that was the rishon touches the kli, the cup, so it won't necessarily expose the whole cup to tumah, only part of it to tumah. In other words, for example, if the wine, which is a rishon, touches the outside of a cup, it'll render the cup to a sheni, but only the outside of the cup, assuming it touched the outside of the cup. If it touched the outside, it makes the outside of the cup, but the inside remains tahor. So that obviously makes people realize, oh, this is obviously just a durabun and tumah, because when it comes to tumah deraisa, you're either in or out. It's all or nothing. Those are things that have to make up. So we're saying when it comes to truma, we're going to divide the cup into different sections. Basically, you'll have the toch, that's the inside of the cup. Then you have the acharayim, we'll call that's the bottom of the cup. Like if you think of those like kiddush cups, silver cups, they have like a base kibble underneath.
The minor cup.
You could, so to speak, if you turn it upside down, you could put some liquid inside there. That's acharayim. That's thing you would. The point is just a different section of the cup, acharayim, the underside. And then there's also the base hatzvita, which is the place where you hold the cup. If you want to think of it as a handle, fine. You can think of it just the place, the outside of the cup, the outside. So, the stem. Good word. I don't know what tzvita means in modern Hebrew, I have no idea. But where you hold it. So we have three sections. So we're going to say that if the, for truma's purposes, if you have a mashke, a liquid, that's tamei and a rishon, and it touches the outside or the underside of the cup, just the outside or the underside of the cup will become tamei, not the inside of the cup. I should point out, just to make things confusing, the rabbis limited it to that. They said if the tamei drink, like the wine, goes into the inside of the cup, then even the whole cup becomes tame. Okay? Even it's just the Rabbanim, but they thought that was the outside of a cup is enough for hecker. They didn't want you using the inside of the cup and then letting the outside be tahor. Mm-hmm. So that. So the point of the Mishnah is going to say this thing about saying the underside or the outside of the cup becomes tame from a liquid, but only not the inside. That's a kula that applies to truma. But when it comes to kodesh, we'll still treat the inside of the cup as being tame, even if we only got tame from the outside. Midr Rabbanim. That's the point of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says inside, achorayim, the underside of the cup, v'toch, and the inside of the cup, obeis tzvita, the handle of the cup, the holding parts, but truma, those halachas only apply. See, there's no Mishnah that doesn't say what, but those halachas that I told you that if it gets tame from a derabanan source of tuma, that they are limited to partially tame, that only applies to when it comes to truma. Avalo b'kodesh. If you're talking about kodesh, I don't care what, you have to treat the whole cup as being tame, even if it just touched the outside, and even though it's derabanan, it will treat it all as being tame, and you can't eat that truma anymore, it's ruined. That kachem anymore. That kodesh kachem anymore, and it'll be asar. Okay? That's number two. Number three. Now we're talking about midras and azav. So, if you recall, if a person's a Zav or a Zav or a Metzora, so the things that they sit on are Tame. And they're Tame Midoraisa. And they're Tame Midoraisa to become an Avatuma, which is pretty wild. So, that means, in other words, if the Zav sits on the chair, or the Zav sits on the his wife's skirt, or the wife who's a Zav sits on his trousers, all these things, the trousers become an Avatuma. That's a pretty wild, right?
Even through her own skirt.
Through it all. Anything that's meant to, any kli that's meant to support human weight, like a pair of trousers or a chair or 10 mattresses, the fact that there's no direct contact doesn't matter. If the woman is mishkav, or her mishkav or moshav, the thing she's sitting on or meant to sit on, or support her weight, if she sits on them and she's a zava, so then, or a mitzora, or he's a zav, that will transfer tuma all the way down.
That's very tummy.
Yeah, very tummy. Right. So, normally what will happen
Japan,
then is...
It's like Japan radioactive.
Let's get in there. So here, normally what happens is that if you think this would be the case, it'd be if I'm the Zav and I'm Tame, so that means that then I sit on my wife's skirt. So the skirt now becomes a Rishon, and then I'm sorry. Yeah, my wife puts on the skirt. So normally what you think should happen is that her skirt is an av, because I sat on it as the zav. So now when she wears it, she becomes a rishon, because an av hatum is metam adam akela. And then, if she's wearing a ring on her finger, or, you know, got a blouse on top, so that is a kli, and it's touching her. She is the, you think she is the rishon, so the blouse or the ring is a kli, and a kli is not, you don't a rishon is not makabel a kli, so it should be tahor, right? Mm-hmm. However, there's a separate din, and this is a din midoraisa of tumas chiburim, which is like if things are attached to one another, the tuma passes through pretty seamlessly. So, in other words, what that means is if the zav goes sit on my wife's skirt and she puts a skirt on, so that skirt, which is an avatuma, since it's an avatuma, will be matama her. The tumas medris we're talking about av medris is so strong that when she puts on her skirt, it'll be matama her to be a rishon, as well as everything else that she's holding or wearing. She's having direct contact with the clothing, or even she's got, like, I don't know what in her hand, you know? She doesn't matter. All that stuff is tamei to become a rishon, because it's attached to her when she becomes tamei from the tumas medras. That's a doraisa. That's pretty powerful tuma, like you said. So that's that. So, now, that tuma only happens from direct contact. So that means things that are, I'm just carrying, for example, or for whatever reasons, because of psukim, or klicheres, is not susceptible to that tuma. In other words, when my wife puts on her skirt that I sat on, her blouse becomes tamei as a rishon, and her ring becomes tamei as a rishon. The klicheres she's holding in her hand doesn't become tamei, because it's cheres. It's excluded. And also, what's inside what she's holding, she's not holding directly, she's only carrying, like, for example, if she'd be she has food inside a pot, and she's holding the pot, so the pot will become the Rishon, but the food... That's not a good example, actually. Well, let's keep it simple. The fact that she's carrying the inside of her Kli Cheres Truma, it won't matter. The Truma is not susceptible to Truma, because she may be supporting its weight, but she's not touching it directly, and the Truma transferring because it's inside of Kli Cheres. Okay? So, we're going to say that that's all true, and therefore, it should be fine for a woman, or whatever, a person, who's wearing begadim that are medras begadim, be holding a kli cheres and have something in, like truma inside the kli cheres. That should be okay, but we're going to say, even though it's all okay and the truma doesn't transfer, we're not going to let you do it if you're talking about holding kodesh inside the kli cheres. That's, I guess, just too close for comfort. They don't want you to be being noset, being carrying a kli cheres that has kachim inside of it if you're wearing a medras truma. That's the whole Mishnah, the next part here. So it says, Mishnah starts. Yeah. Hanose es hamedras. If a person is carrying something and has tumas medras, right? Nose is a truma. At the same time, he can be carrying tumas medras on one hand, and that's batanim, and on the other hand, he can be carrying being nose truma as long as it's a klicheres and impervious. Avolo es a kodesh. We won't let the guy be carrying simultaneously tumas medras clothing, which would be mutam him, as well as a kli that's, even as kli cheres is holding kodesh, because we're afraid that, you know, it's just too close for comfort. Okay, fine. Now, Mishnah, the fourth part, I should say, this is of the five. In the Mishnah here, this we actually saw before, from the end of the last parak. Basically, if you remember, we said, if a person is keeping his clothing tahor, but he's keeping it tahor for a certain level, we'll treat it as medras for like the next level. Remember, we had the stories about the two people, Yossi ben Yoezer, for was one of the two. We said, if he keeps only a level of truma, we treated his mitpachas, his headscarf, as being a medras, as being tamei, as far as kodesh go. So that's the Mishnah is just repeating that, because we're having a list of all 11. That's one of the things that kodesh has over truma, and therefore it says, big day, ochle truma, the clothes of people who are just planning eating truma, medras the kodesh. We'll treat them as being tamei, as tumas medras, for someone who wants to eat kodesh. Fine, that we saw before. Now the fifth and final aspect for this Mishnah is the issue of chatzitza. Yeah, the issue of chatzitza when you do tefillah. So it's like this. When you put a kli into the mikvah, it becomes tahor, right? Fine. Now, if it would have a knot, say, either a woman, say a woman goes to the mikvah and she has her hair is in a knot, there's knots in her hair. So we say that's no big deal. It's not ma'akev because the hair knots don't tie that tight. So that would be okay. Same would go, let's say, for example, if like you're doing a shirt and the sleeves of the shirt were tied, like, you know, tied together. We say it's not that tight and that's not ma'akev, it's not a chatzitza, they put the whole shirt in and then it's cool, put the whole woman in with her hair in a knot, it's cool. Okay? However, we're going to be ma'akev when it comes to kodesh. We'll see in a second inside. And the second, you have to first untie it. And the second issue is niguv, drying things off. Normally, if let's say, for example, you have blood on a shirt, so that's not good, you don't want the blood there, the blood will be a chatzitza for the shirt. You can't be totally sure because it's got blood on it. But if the blood's still moist, it's not moist things are not considered chatzitzas. So that should be normally the case. And it is by truma, will be machmer and say if you got something moist, any liquid whatsoever, even like absorbed water inside a kli, and it's tummy, you have to first dry it out. When the sunshine, once it's bone dry, then you can put it in the mikvah. If we're treating even any liquids absorbed in as being chatzitzas till it dried out. So the Mishnah is going to say now inside, it says, lo kmidas hakodesh midas truma. It's different when it comes to kodesh than with truma. Sheba kodesh, when it comes to kodesh, if you want to be put things in the mikvah, you'll have to.
You're going back to what?
Gimel. So, just Gimel. Mishnah Gimel.
Gimel.
Yeah. So you'll have to matir, you have to untie the knot, let's say the shirt sleeves, or menagev, you'll have to dry it out in the sun first before you put it in the mikvah. If you're talking about kodesh, and then umatil, then you can be put in the mikvah, va'achah kosher, and you can retie whatever you want to retie. Right? Ubatruma, it's not true. Kosher, it can be tied up, it doesn't matter, the hair is on her head, or the pant legs, whatever, it's going to be in a knot, doesn't matter. They can go to the mikvah for that, va'achah kach, umatil, you can put it in the mikvah even though it's still tied up. And same goes with liquid embedded inside the garments. Okay.